a feeling this gentleman may be otherwise occupied.
That's okay. Yeah, I know. That's true. Yes, true. So we're going to open the Senate Education Committee. Today is Thursday, June 15th. As you can tell, we're getting closer to that magic date of July 10th. We have to be out of here. There are other people who think we should be out before that.
The magic date is June 30th.
As I said, there are some people who think we will get out earlier. There are some eternal optimists amongst us still. And with that, we're going to have open an informational meeting on the tribal attendance pilot project. And I'm excited about this. This has been something that's been important to me for a long time. I tell people often my great-grandmother was a normal school teacher who worked up the Queets River, and it were tribal members that got her to and from those places in those years. And our families had some close relationships with northern Washington tribes. And attendance has always been an issue, and I think there's a lot of reasons about that. And so to have a study that helps us maybe understand a little bit better what we can do is really important. So with that, we'll invite our wonderful guests up.
Good afternoon, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jan McComb from the Department of Education, and I am here solely to introduce the brains of the operation. To my immediate left is Ramona Halcomb, and she is our Indian Ed Specialist, and her primary duty is administering this TAP program. And then to her left is April Campbell. She is our Indian Ed Specialist.
And before they get started, I will say that there have been a lot of discussions, and I think our good Senator Cruz has also been involved with many of the tribes who are very appreciative that the two of you are now working at the department. And I've only heard really good things. So thank you. That we've not always had the best of relationships for a lot of different reasons, but I think the investment has been a good one, and I look forward to the report. So thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And even though Jen did a great job introducing you, you still have to do it yourself when you talk as well.
Ms. Chair, Jen usually sits through me.
I know. It's pretty exciting to have her up front.
That was my plan today as well, sir.
We're like, no, got to join us. My name is April Campbell. I'm a member of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, currently serving as the Indian Education Advisor to the Oregon Department of Education. And thank you very much for having us.
Thank you, Chair Roblin and Vice Chair Lynn Thickum. And I hope that was close. My name is Ramona Halcomb, and I'm a citizen of the Umatilla Tribe in Pendleton. And I'm also the Indian Education Specialist for ODE, and as you heard, the Grant Administrator for TAP. And I'm very glad that we can be here today and share some of the highlights and answer any questions you might have.
Yeah. I only have one job and I can't even
So while we don't have live data, we did compare the first two quarters of 2015-2016 with the first two quarters of 16-17. We are in 17 schools and over half of them showed improvement, so they're going in the right direction. However, I say that cautiously because we all know what 14 snow days and flu season and everything like that might do to our numbers. So as you may recall, in 2014, Ed Northwest released a chronic absenteeism study, or, well, they made agreements with seven of the nine tribes. The tribes gave their enrollment data. So we always thought our figures were low, but this was the first time ever that we could prove that our students who were tribally enrolled were not doing as well as other American Indian Alaska Native students who just self-identify or their peers. And so we found through that study 33% of tribally enrolled students are chronically absent, which, as you know, is missing 10% or more of school days compared to 19% average. In high school, we have a 43% chronic absenteeism rate among American Indian Alaska Native tribally enrolled students compared to 27% all others. And for middle school, we have a 31% absenteeism rate for American Indian Alaska Natives, and that is compared to 18%. However, I would like to point out that we recently asked our data researchers to look into a common theme we hear, that our kids drop out before high school, and we did find out that 12% of our American Indian Alaska Native students melt away. That is the new term that we learned. And you feel free to add to any of that. So that's another thing we'll be looking into, is how to capture and reconnect with those middle schoolers who don't even cross the doors of high school. And then for elementary...
Excuse me.
Yes.
So those that melt away, are they part of the percentage of chronic in high school, or they just aren't...
They just counted? Dropped out and disappeared from the system.
They're not part of the numbers?
No. Okay. That's in addition to...
Okay.
Thank
okay.
you. And then for elementary school, we see, and this was particularly troubling for me because it's twice the rate, absenteeism, 28% compared to 14%. I have always said a couple of things about TAP, that we won't solve it in a year, that it took many years to get to where we are today, and that there are multiple faceted reasons why there's chronic absenteeism among our population, and I'm sure you'll be interested in some of those highlights. And we have high poverty. We are in priority schools, Title I schools, and we also, going to the next, are more likely to have novice teachers, which have 3 years or less experience, and that I think really can contribute to our children learning, because you really have to know, it takes some time, I believe, to learn how to manage a classroom. And then also, all of our students had discipline rates that you can see here. And some of the things that really jumped out at me, although I can't make an exact statement and say that's a fact, but if you look at high school, there's 43% of our students have discipline one or more suspensions, and we also have a 43% chronic absenteeism rate. And I just thought, you know, are we sending them home, and then that's kind of saying, hey, I kind of like this, and it kind of contributes, but I have no proof of that. It was just interesting to me.
I can interrupt again, but...
Please.
In the suspensions, is there a common theme, or is it just all things across the board? I mean, there are specific things. I'm just wondering if there's kind of a common element in there.
It really varies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are schools that suspend you for being absent.
There are some schools that, yeah, for sure.
Right, but you know, I mean, whether it's a certain type of acting out, or
right.
or if it's just a general mix, then, is what
it really
saying.
Is.
Okay.
And then the other thing that's kind of interesting about this particular statistic is that we're just talking about one suspension. So
right.
one or more.
Right.
So right. So our kids could be suspended multiple times, but you're not. It's not going to reflect per se in
the
that percentage. Yep.
And we had a TAP 2-day symposium where all 9 sites came and shared their best practices, what they've learned over the year. And one thing that I was really excited about is one of the sites had all of their staff, secretaries, cafeteria workers, teachers' aides, go through mindfulness training. And I encouraged them to buy libraries of books and tapes so that as they had staff turnover, those new people could learn what the mission or the thought was of the staff, because I think mindfulness training helps not only the students to calm down and handle things differently, but it also helps adults, and helps adults not react to when a child's acting out. So I'm hoping years down the road, seeing what their particular discipline rate is, to see if it changed the numbers at all. I think it very well could. Also, we found, which is not surprising, that our children have free and reduced lunch, and that they're more likely to be eligible for that. And they also are in special ed. That's one figure that surprised me, as we always say, and why I love research. We always say that our children are overly identified in special ed, but when I looked at the numbers, I didn't really find that that was as surprising of a difference, but it still is. It is concerning. And so you can imagine, if you're in school with a novice teacher and a priority one school and you have poverty, our test scores are going to reflect all of that. And so you can see where we compare with math and reading.
And the brownish color is self-identified Native Americans that are not tribal related, or?
Sorry.
It's
yeah.
All students.
Yeah, the gray is just the Oregon enrolled tribes that okay. participated in the study. So those seven of the nine tribes, the
mustard
color yep. is the one you just said, which
okay.
is all other natives, and then the red or maroon is all students.
Perfect.
Thank you. And one thing promising that we found is, are we on slide 13? No.
Sorry.
No, the next one.
The graduation.
Because this was about the going into.
Yeah, sorry, we're right.
I skipped a page.
Okay.
I apologize. So we had a 55% graduation rate, and we did have an increase. I think I remember Colt sharing that. And then also, one of our colleagues said that American Indian Alaska Native students who are enrolled in CTE programs have a higher graduation rate. And I was really excited to hear that, especially with the talk of Measure 98. So that's Dan Adams. He was sharing with us how strong our students do in particular, and he's been tracking that figure for us. One thing that we were really excited to see, though, is that our students do as well or better once they get their high school diploma and they move on to post-secondary. And that was exciting. Also, Colt Gill had a webinar with seven of the nine student youth groups. And he actually asked them what helped them to get through school. And a number of them said the tribal programs, the after school, the language, the cultural activities. And do you remember anything else? In
I think just the really the connection back to the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
When we asked the question, you know, what's getting you through school, it was that we have tribal resources, so tribal after-school programs, summer youth programs, and so that was really just really nice to hear, because a lot of tribes do offer those. But you can see around the state that folks that don't may not live close or near to a tribe that don't have access to that don't have the same success rates, I guess, for lack of
right.
a better word.
And to me, what jumps out about that whole statistic is it's about relationships. So when those students, those seven of the nine tribe student groups, were talking about the things that their tribes offered them, it reminded me of something one of our peers said at a government-to-government meeting, that schools have our youth K through 12. We have our students their entire lifetime. And so one of the beautiful things about TAP, and I just said this last night at a TAP function, is the collaboration between the tribe, the school, and the families. And I think that's where we'll really see the success. So after the study that was released, our government to government, speaking of, education cluster advocated for a funding package to address our chronic absenteeism, which is what TAP is. And This is our education cluster. And these are the schools. The tribes selected the schools that had the highest number of their students they were serving. And so you'll see there that we have Harney County, Lincoln County, South Umpqua, Pendleton, Willamina, Jefferson, Coos Bay, Klamath, and North Bend. And the next slide is just putting that in words, because as you all know, people like visual, or they like hearing, and there's all, and so we purposely made our slides that way. And these are the nine tribes, as you'll know, Burns, Coos, Lower Umpqua, Siusawa, Coos, Cow Creek, and Grand Ronde, Siletz, Umatilla, Warm Springs, Coquille, and Klamath tribes. And we wanted to point out what that looks like and where our youth are located. So we put this on the map. And in 2015, Obama had put a American Indian Alaska Native report out on education, and some of the highlights of that were talking about the very same things that we just talked about, the Title I schools, the rural locations, being able to attract teachers that are highly qualified teachers, and housing. And so as you can see, a number of our sites are in rural communities. So our role at ODE was to provide technical assistance to the family advocates. And what I loved about the family advocates is the job description was co-created between the tribe and the school district. The tribe had to approve the applicant pool, and then the district hired, interviewed, and hired and supervised the individual. And what is great, going back to what I said about relationships, is these people had to have deep connections to the communities that they were serving. And they are some of the most wonderful people you'll ever meet. That's why TAP is a success. One of the family advocates said at his presentation that he had two-day weekends all of last year. Another TAP advocate, I called him on a Saturday, and he whispered, "I'm coaching right now. Can I call you back?" And so our family advocates are connected to the community. And then we had in-person trainings. I created a blog because it's very hard to build capacity when you're not in the same room. And we had site visits, and I'd like to acknowledge and thank Dr. Noor and Michelle, Chief of Staff, for supporting us in that.
So we're gonna make a little shift up here. Mm-hmm. We'll have to let our higher ed person, who is so much more above us, have our regular person come visit. So thank you.
Thank you. And so the other thing that I felt was important for TAP was having an objective evaluator. And so our evaluator has interviewed the family advocates, the school, and the tribe. And she will be synthesizing the findings of what the best practices in each of those sites, what we can build upon. So the first thing was doing an in-depth search of what resources are available for our family advocates. And not only that, but school districts and anyone interested in reducing absenteeism and increasing graduation rates. And this is our blog. I made two blogs, one that was just for the family advocates private so that they could really be thought partners together and ask questions and not have to, like, you know, check every word that somebody could misunderstand it. And then I also have a public blog that anyone is welcome to go online. Some of the creative things that are TAP schools did was T-shirts. They're all different. This one happens to be I belong to the 99% Club. And then one thing that was really real successful in several of the sites was these brag tags. And if you had good attendance for a week or a month, you would get one. And I had principals telling me that students would run up and say, look, I have this one, I got this one. And they were really successful at a very low cost.
And I'll just add just a little bit. So one of the unique things about TAP, when the government-to-government education cluster decided to, this was their objective to move forward to try to secure funding, they really wanted to identify opportunities, not just to reduce chronic absenteeism, but to actually build relationships with the local school district. And so what we've seen through this process is we had two tribes with two separate school districts that when this funding rolled out, initially it felt to the school district they were being punished. There was like, why are you pushing this funding on us? Our absenteeism is already doing well, like, you know, we're at 90%. But when you dug down deeper, it wasn't that the same for our native students. In fact, if you took the native students out, one of the districts would have been at 98%. But because the native students brought down their overall chronic absenteeism rates. Anyways, so what I think, aside from reducing chronic absenteeism, what we've seen is this really deep relationship with the local tribe and sharing of resources and sharing of best practices that are outside of the educational system that we might not think of. And in some cases, there's been systematic changes. And so just as an example, one of the sites, the family advocates meet and greet everybody that comes through the door. And that hadn't happened in the past. And so really elevating a child when they walk in. Because if you have a bad day and, you know, you're down and someone says, hey, good morning, that might just be the change they needed to make it through the day. So one of our sites, Mona's event that she went to last night, used some of the funding to put a sign up, which is also in the, is it Wasco? Did they use Wasco? Not Wasco, sorry.
They used Umatilla and Nez Perce
language. I was thinking Warm Springs, because Warm Springs is also putting together a welcome sign in their language and used some native logos to highlight. And then Burns, they did this fabulous equity trainings, full day. Dr. Noor came out, and Mona's got a really good story. I don't know if you want to share.
Sure.
Okay, I'll let you.
Actually, it's one of my favorite stories. So TAP, and I should have said this in the beginning, is part of the American Indian Alaska Native State Plan objective. There's 11 objectives, TAP's number 3. Another objective is community conversations. So Dr. Noor, Lindsay Capps, every agency head for education, early learning, youth development, et cetera, they come out to the community. So we went out to Burns and had a community conversation, and we simply feed people. We invite everybody that touches a child's life, if that's a Boys and Girls Club, if that's a library, if everyone in the schools, everyone in the tribes, and we sit and we break bread together and we just talk and we say, what's your strengths here? What's your challenges? And I have to tell you, in Burns, it was very touching, very emotional. A lot of the students, we happened to be there the day that the court case came out on the takeover. And so it was a very interesting time. Emotions were high. You know, you could imagine that there would be people on polarized about what was happening in their community. And so the next day, the equity team and some other people provided a diversity training, and I gave one on American Indians, and a principal ran up to me and asked, will you come back in April and talk to my entire staff? I said, of course. Came back, put it on my calendar to check back in January. I contacted the principal to see if they still needed us, and they said, no, we are doing so well, we don't need you. And so they had made a relationship with that tribe, and they're collaborating, and they are really seeing a difference in their children's attitude and being at school.
And then just the last project that I thought was really interesting was one of our sites decided to build curriculum about their tribe. And so this next slide is it's exactly objective 7 in our state plan. And as you guys probably know, we're trying to pass through Senate Bill 13. But it allowed that district and that tribe to get a jump start on making sure that there's accurate, historically accurate and place-based curriculum in that area.
And that goes back to what I said earlier about there's multiple faceted reasons. It could be the way our staff relate to our students and vice versa. It could be curriculum, as April just mentioned. It could be just a number of different things. And that's what I loved about TAP. It was very flexible. It gave communities what they needed to make changes. And so next steps, ODE will be producing some beautiful posters. I hope you'll be able to get a chance to have us back and see some of those. We're going to make best practices available. And hopefully the future of TAP will be something that can continue on building with those positive steps we've made thus far. Are there any questions? And in your packet that we are giving you is the individual report of all 9 sites. So when you have time, you can read through that. And feel free to contact myself or April.
If you he said
Santa Cruz.
2 tribes were not participating.
No, that was in the enrollment study.
Oh, yes.
That gave their enrollment names to ODE or to the chalkboard project.
All 9 tribes participated in this
in TAP
project.
Yeah, okay, just clarification.
Yeah.
So.
Thank
I
appreciate
you.
That.
And why did those 2 tribes bug out of the report on the study side?
The study, sharing of information with amongst tribes, there's some history there, and so that was my understanding, was both of those tribes were just uncomfortable with sharing their personal data.
Tribal membership in Oregon, our state government helped make that a mess. When you consider the displacement of tribes in the southwestern Oregon all the way to the Siletz, and so the SLETS enrollment is based on the history from the time they got moved there, and it included tribes from every one of the Western tribes. The Western tribes have now come back since 1954 when they were disbanded to become their own tribes. And every time that happens, there are people who disenroll from one tribe and end up going back to a tribe that they can prove their lineage back to, say it's a Coquille or it's a Siuslaw, Umpqua, Confederated tribes. Every one of those are going to have dual relationships with Siletz. And then there's the issue when they first came or moved from the Rogue settlement, they were sent up, they walked from the winter up, and the place at Siletz was not ready for them, so the government sent them to live with the people at the Grand Ronde. And so there were a number of people at Grand Ronde and other things that happened during that period of time that makes some of that difficult. There used to be a number of other tribes in the state of Oregon as well, and there's only one that's now a recognized tribe that was just a band. That happens to be down in the Roseburg area. But we did a lot of stuff from the inception of the state until 1954 when a group were disbanded that created a mixture of things. So you don't see it quite as much in Washington, where those tribes never happened, and so they've kept their identity. It's created a problem here. And that means it's hard for them to share back and forth because they're still figuring that out.
And there's still some competitiveness between tribes as well. So
there was before, and there is now.
And there still is.
Very well said. I'd love to just appreciate and thank you for that answer, because it's so, we couldn't have said it better ourselves.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And there's just really some distress at times, and I was pleased that seven.
I agree. I think that's really pretty.
It's high.
But it would, we have said, it would be, wouldn't it be nice if we had all nine just to see, just to get that snapshot.
And the other thing, if you go to restoration on the west side, Klamath is one as well, but if you go to the restoration ceremonies that they have representing when they came back as a tribe, almost all of them have an educational component to that, where they recognize tribal members who have gone to college or whatever, mm-hmm. and they're all over the country. And one of the big issues that I think is underlying in attendance, and I hope somebody can study it sometime, having grown up in Washington with a lot of tribal friends and members, and the high school I went to had the Elwas and the Sklallams, and there's issues up there too. It took me a while. When I went and student taught, and I talked with one of the chiefs of the Elwha that I knew, because I couldn't figure out why my students in middle school weren't performing as well as I knew. They were really bright, but they weren't performing. And he said, you know, it's hard to me to explain to you what it means to be tribal and place-based. You don't have a comprehension of what place-based means to us. And therefore, if you have a young tribal person who knows he will be a leader of that tribe at some point, and he's in your educational system, the reason for him to succeed and to do all the things that you think are good is not very great. In fact, it's oftentimes counterproductive to the tribe. Mm-hmm. Because if he gets a really good education and shows that he's really bright and gets all the scholarships to go to these other universities, he may never come back. And his responsibility to the tribe is to be a leader here at the Elwha Reservation or at Sklallam. And your system tries to get them to see the whole big world out there and to give them an opportunity to go everywhere in the world. And they culturally are saying, I don't know if I want to know that, because I really feel strongly about my tribe and this place that it exists at. And so I've always wondered, from those first conversations, whether we need to readjust what we are trying to teach kids in school and to sell them on getting an education will help you lead your tribe and get the things that your tribe needs to have to be successful in this new world. And we don't have that conversation very often with kids. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that great conversation very often with tribes. And so underlying this issue is, how do I keep, and the tribes that have chosen Quantum as their a native relationship to their tribe, it's really hard on them, because as these kids grow up and go and move and interact in the world in a different way, they lose population. So some tribes have gone away from that and done other things, which creates other interesting interactions.
I appreciate that, and that's one of the reasons we believe SB 13 is so critical, because having those types of conversations, that curriculum, one of the things when students don't feel curriculum is relevant to them, it doesn't engage them. And so I believe what you're addressing is a lot of us don't want to be standing out. We're more communal. And so if teachers could help make more group work and let students function in a more culturally appropriate way, they would excel if they just felt more comfortable, which is why the curriculum and the pedagogy would be so critical to our population and others. And I feel like I'm excited for TAP, I'm excited for Measure 98, for the graduation for Colt Gill's leadership. I know one of the things I always share with people is we have to look differently at how we talk about education, because what is success in one person's culture is not success in another. And so when I talk to young people, rather than saying, oh, you can get this and get a lot of money and you can be successful, I ask, if grandma gets diabetes, who do you want to take care of her? Do you want somebody who knows your values and your ways, or do you want somebody who doesn't understand your grandma? And that changes the conversation, and it gives them an opportunity to give back, which is what we all want to do. You want to give back to your communities, and we do as well, and it's just sometimes a little more difficult for us to see that our youth to understand that they are there and that their education's relevant.
I just have one last thing I just wanted to let you guys know. Before the TAP project got started, we were working with some national organizations that work with chronic absenteeism, or attendance, I should say. And there were studies on the Latino population, all these other populations, but none. And so we are getting looked at nationally. They're wanting to know what Oregon is doing. And so we're really excited. We just wrapped up year one. Don't have all the data, but it's looking promising on multiple levels, yes. Not just bringing the chronic absenteeism, but really that I think my personal opinion in my past life being the education manager at Grand Ronde, that relationship with the school district changed our youth. At one point, we had a 75% dropout rate. And over course of time, 100% graduation rate. And that relationship, I think, really does help encourage all levels, but yes. Just what folks may call success for kids.
I agree. I was a former director of education for the Umatilla tribe, and they did simple things. Treaty Days is a celebration for us, and we used to tell the school district, mark our children absent right now because nobody will be there on Treaty Days. So the superintendent simply took his in-service days and made it on our treaty day so that our kids wouldn't be counted absent to participate in their culture, and he could do something that needed to be done in school anyway. So that relationship, that understanding, and those simple fixes can change the outcomes of different communities. So I want to thank you for your leadership in education, because TAP's success is your success. It's your leadership and your voice to support all children in Oregon, and we certainly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You also have some cultural things you have to do. I mean, a lot of tribal members did not have great experiences in their local schools.
Yes. Historical trauma.
For a whole lot of reasons.
Right.
And to make them want to enact back with that school to recognize they can change is really difficult. And they send a message to their kids that it's okay, because it wasn't good for me either, so it's easy to fall into the deal that you don't need to go to school either, it wasn't good for me either.
Yes.
Changing that and getting the people connected to the school districts in positive ways is really a great thing that you're doing. So I hope that we not only continue it, but also continue to look for some of those other root causes and the kinds of things that can add to it. You were talking about competition.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our where I went to school, where I did my student teaching, some of the best athletes in middle school were Native kids. Hardly any of them were in athletics in high school. And part of it was I came to believe that getting grades in school is not competitive for Native tribes. It doesn't have the same deal that it did for a lot of the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it didn't matter to them. So then they didn't get the grade point that allowed them to continue to be in sports.
No.
And so all of a sudden, they didn't do what they excelled at either, because they said, well, you're not eligible anymore because you don't have this GPA. And we've got to, so I fought at that at times to separate those two and let people be what they're really good at, let them be really good at it for a while so that they don't get challenged on the other one. And it was an amazing experience for me early in my career to recognize how different, and never outwardly, because I will tell you, I have never seen more respectful people, even when you're not being respectful to them, than the Native Americans that I've known through my life. They see that as a big cultural thing, that they are respectful. And the last one I will say is that it is amazing to me that the culture of being in the service amongst tribes is much greater, I think, than any other part of our society. Individual tribal members who have been in the service are revered in their tribes. And it's kind of amazing to watch that. And it's interesting for me to watch and try to see and hopefully learn. And I hope that your efforts will continue to help all of us in schools have a better understanding of the kinds of things and the interactions that we should be having with tribal members to help solve that problem.
Thank you.
Because it's really important. Any other questions? Are you, I don't know, you know this probably. We've had tribal educators for a long time. Federal government gave us money at different times to do that. Is this the first time we've had two local tribal members as the tribal liaison at the Department of Ed? Do you know?
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, we had an Indian Ed specialist who was from one of the tribes for a long time, Brad Victor.
Brad's not a tribal member. Brad's not tribal.
He's not tribal, yeah. But he is Indian.
Right. That's what I was getting at.
I guess, yeah. From what my understanding, when I came on board almost 4 years ago, we had a 0.10% FTE. Prior to that, we had in the early 80s, I think is the first time that it was approved, and there was a full-time individual Native woman from outside of the state. Yeah. But to my knowledge, this is the first time you guys have ever had two FTEs, regardless if we're Native or non-Native.
But we are both from here.
Which is really, I'm really pleased with the department and with understanding that there are reasons to do that. Not that you have any disrespect for tribal people not from Oregon.
Absolutely.
But
right.
There is a difference. Tribes are place-based.
Yes.
Even those other tribes are place-based.
Mm-hmm.
And having an understanding of the place is really important in conversations.
I thank you for that, and I agree. And I would like to just say that's, to me, Dr. Noor and Michelle Hooper's leadership to see, you know, not only the need, but the investment. Because when I came on board 1 year ago, I couldn't believe all the work that April did alone. And so it's a full-time job for both of us. So I don't know. She was able to enjoy the second week of vacation she's had.
Whoa.
Since she's been here. And she didn't take 2 weeks. She took 1 week, but for the second time.
Any other questions?
It's a vacation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Any further?
I just want to say thank you guys very much for your interest. We would love to, once we get all the results in, evaluation, whether it's a oral report or just send it to you written, either way, but we would love to share what we're hearing.
And
what
we would love to hear it. And we're going to have legislative days during the interim, and it may very well likely that let us know when the report is there.
Yep, sure.
I want to thank Jan for making this happen because she came to me a while ago and said, you know, this would be a good report for you. We really do want to make sure that this gets out. And so thank you for that, Jan, and the department.
Thank you, Jan.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Have a great day.
Have a great day.
And we will adjourn our Senate Education Committee meeting. Thank you. You even had backup. Thank you. You even had